What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Alpha Street Podcast. As you guys know, I only bring you guys badass motherfuckers, okay? I only bring on guests who actually have done something that everyone here can learn from, okay? And today, I'm really excited to get to know this guest today because I've already just started to dive into his story, trying to find out more about this guy, and I'm excited to learn more about it. So every one of you guys are listening, perk up, because this is one of the baddest dudes you're ever going to meet. Out here in a new studio, as you all can see here, filming out here in Los Angeles, trying to get it in with, you know, the more handsome people of the world, you know, like, when I'm, my guests have been good looking in the past, but like, we need to get out to LA a little bit more. No, I'm just kidding. Either way, Chris, thanks for coming on, bro.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, all right, there's a lot to dive into. You got a pretty dope story. You know, but here's the thing, is what I really want to know is where did all this come from? Because, well, I'm not going to give it away. I know what I normally do, by the way. What I normally do is I usually read off someone's bio, give the whole idea, and then introduce the guest. I stopped doing that because I butcher it, and I like to hear it from the actual horse's mouth, for lack of a better term, on how the hell you got here to this point, right?
Absolutely.
We'll get into everything you've accomplished, but what's your story, man? Like, how the hell have you become who you are today? Give us a breakdown. Who is Chris?
Well,
loaded question, isn't it?
You know, it's I feel like that has a lot of meaning to it. Obviously, when you think of yourself, as everyone should. Right. But I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur literally my whole life. Literally since the age of 13, I was pretty much working, always figuring out how to a way to, you know, just to pretty much get ahead. And what I mean by that is, I guess back in middle school, I started my own little business at the time. This is like 2002 at the time.
Oh shit.
And, I was literally selling candy to kids.
Naturally.
Like
Pop-Tarts, Oreos, what are we talking here?
We're talking Sour Belts. We're talking gummy bears.
Yeah. So you bought the box and you upsold the individual packets.
Yeah. Okay. Typically, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
So I would go to Costco. I would do all that. I was basically a natural, you know, innovator. It's just in my blood. And so it just stayed with me, like, you know, growing up. Once I became an adult, I was always just trying to figure out a way to better myself, and not use excuses. You know, the fact that, hey, I have to go to school full time. Oh, you play sports, but, you know, too bad. You still have to work. You still have to find a way to keep going up, you know. So,
well, can I just ask you something then? Not every kid thinks like that. Okay, let's be real.
Yeah, right? Totally.
But not every kid has the desire to go make some money or even feel the need to make money. In your case, I'm not sure which one it was, of like whether it's desire or need or both. But what really was it about your childhood that pushed you to a level to think outside the box, to be, you know, trying to make more money or do other things outside, not just focus on, as you said, football, school? What was it about your childhood that actually drilled that in your mind? Was it just a gift, or was there things that happened in your life that made that?
So I definitely do believe it was a desire. I grew up more of a like lower class individual, lower class family, but my parents were smart. They wanted to put me into a better school. So by putting me into a better school, I would see more, you know what I mean? And to see more, in order to be more, you have to see more. And, again, like when I went to a certain high school, I was around kids that were driving, you know, their mom and dad's BMWs, right. Even though that they didn't earn it,
right.
But it still put the desire into me. Like,
you were a good boy.
Right. Even though, you know, so it just opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. It opened my eyes and it told me that, hey, like, you know, this is possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a car too, mm-hmm. or you can do this, you know, and I'm thinking this way in 9th grade, 10th grade. You know, how can I always just keep improving myself? But long story short, again, that whole just entrepreneurship just stayed within me as, you know, even when I became an adult. I end up going to college to play a little bit of football at New Mexico State.
Yeah, my man.
So
going to New Mexico State, you must have wanted it, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nothing out there.
There's not. Listen, there's a lot of, I used to think about it, just, you know, sitting back at home and be like, wow, there's nothing to do.
No,
right?
There's nothing.
But the pros of this was that you're going to be able to lock in, you're going to be able to focus, you're going to be able to do your classwork, you know, your schedule, everything's just going to be on time. There's no excuses to be late anywhere. There's no traffic.
Yeah. I mean, if your homework's the most enjoyable thing, then wow.
right. Totally.
I don't want to interject too much. I want to keep listening, but just driving through New Mexico, going through New Mexico. If you listen to, they're from New Mexico. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, like that is a hell of a place, man.
Right.
And when I mean a hell of a place, I'm not mincing words.
It's a struggle. It's literally a struggle to get out of this.
Sure. Anyways, all right. Keep going. So Mexico.
Okay. So I did 2 years over there. I was only able to play sports for 1 year. You know, again, growing up, I didn't necessarily have certain guidance on how to, you know, maintain certain level of grades, how it works with your academic clock, you know, once you started and, you know, how long you have in order to, you know, play your sport.
Right.
And, you know, and how it's going to end. And so therefore only did 1 year there. But within that 1 year, I learned so much, was able to, you know, build relationships with certain people and then have that resume of just letting others know that, hey, you know, I did go to college. I did play sports as well, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, you and me both know college is useless. Football.
Right, right.
Make sure we're clear on that.
So when my time was up, and I end up leaving the school and coming back home, I decided to do online courses for like my last semester. And, you know, at the time I was like, gosh, I'm so bored. Like now, like I was so used to this strict schedule. Like I'd wake up at 6, we go do film, you know, you go to class and then 12 o'clock comes, we go lift. Then you have practice from 3 to 6 and then watch a little bit more film and then you're back to bed and it's repeated every single day.
Yeah.
You know? And so again, you go back home and it's like, wow, like what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like how do I stay in shape? Mm-hmm. You know, you hear all these stories about people like after college and then they end up getting the dad bod automatically.
You're looking at one.
No, I'm not even.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are. We're describing this.
No,
this
not right even. Here. Not even.
Mr. Bowling Ball.
So what I wanted to do was at the time, this is 2014, and what I wanted to do was to keep myself busy, keep myself active. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get a gym pass, gym membership. I'm going to stay active.
Right.
So I did that for about a month and I'm like, you know what? This is still not enough. Like what else can I do to hold myself accountable, to show up every day, to go as hard as I possibly can. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll start posting my Instagram workouts. And I started doing that.
Yeah.
And again, this, mind you, this is the time when Instagram wasn't as saturated. So when you post something,
we're talking like 2012-ish, right?
2014. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So when you post stuff, everyone that actually follows you is going to see it. Mm. Right. And, there's not a lot of competition at the time. So I started thinking about meaningful stuff that everyone could utilize, like more ab workouts for the most part. So I started doing a lot of those, filming it, doing voiceovers, like, you know, so that way you can connect with your audience.
Right.
And, so I started getting a ton of traction. People were just sharing the video to their friends there. And now people are just, you know, messaging me, hey, can you train me? Like, I don't have a trainer, you know, could you train me? And I'm like, and I started, I got enough messages to where I started my outdoor, like little boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And I would literally every session, I'd have 10 to 15 people. So I'd do like 3 hours a day and I'd have a wave of people just coming off work. And I'd set it up to where, there was like a nice little park right off a freeway. So I had people literally coming from LA, people coming from Rancho Cucamonga. I don't know if you know, where that is, but you know, that's, you know, I had people just coming in waves, and I was like, wow, I can't believe like something like this is just, you know, taking on what it's doing. Right. And, you know, mind you, I was still doing online courses for my college.
Right.
And yeah, something exactly. started telling me, I was like, man, is this what the world is going to turn into? Like, is this what's happening? Like, people are going to be advertising on social media and starting their own businesses and, you know, just booming from there and just making a living. And so I had a choice where I was either going to follow through with what I was going to master, which was sociology, or I was going to continue on this journey, this unknown journey, you know, where I was getting so much attention from these people. And I said, you know what, like, you only live once. I'm 24 at the time. Why not?
Yeah.
Like, if something bad happens, or if it, you know, if I just lose traction, then you know what, at 27, 28, I can start all over again, you know, have my degree, I'll be good to go. So I took it on. I became like a trainer full time for the most part. And, you know, I've met so many great individuals, and a lot of times people will just, they'll join you just because they need an outlet away from their daily life.
Right.
You know, they want to be around something that's lively. They want to be around people that they can actually, you know, talk to. Again, they just want to get away from their everyday life. Just do something totally different.
Right.
So that's what I offer to people.
So did you kind of transition to like doing more personalized clientele, like one-on-one training, or did you stick with like outdoor work, or what was like the, what was your specialty, or how did you like transition this?
So my bread and butter when I first started was the group training.
Right.
Right. So I was getting a wave of people who wanted to train, but I couldn't train them individually. I said, well, why not bring everyone together?
Yeah.
You know? So I did that for about a good 3 years. And then I started getting messages from, you know, other people that were like, hey, you know, in LA, and they're like, hey, I don't want to go out into the valley.
Right.
Can you come to me? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll pay you, you know, whatever number that you know, something that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Can you come out to me? Like, you know, and plus if you do that, I'll refer you to some of my friends. So I start thinking, hey, I can, you know, knock a lot of this workout during the day, make maybe the same or a little bit more doing the individual training, and then just go from there. So I started doing that. And eventually over time, I started, I kept the pace of posting on Instagram. So I would gain the attention of, you know, YouTubers that had millions of followers on Instagram as well. Other entertainers in the space. So I just started working a little bit more with them. And soon I end up working out with one of the Clipper wives. So I start working with the Clipper wife. I start working with a Laker wife as well. So as I was working out with them, you know, you develop good friendships with them over time.
Yeah.
You know, you become their friend.
Right.
Again, a lot of times people, when they do training with you, they just, you know, you have that personal relationship that you build with them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them used to always talk about homes and how I can, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I was becoming their friend. And that's where I got the idea of doing real estate. So I was like, wow, like, you know, I should be helping a lot of these clients, you know, because they don't even know what they're doing. You know, they're talking about buying $5-6 million homes, and this is their first time buying.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should educate myself on this. So I would train them, I'd put it to the side, and then that's when the pandemic happened. 2020.
Right.
All the gyms get shut down.
Right.
So now I can't eat. Right. And I agree. And so all the gyms get shut down. And now I can't even necessarily train the wives anymore. For two reasons. Again, gyms get shut down, and not only that, but the husbands, who are the players, can't risk, you know, being around me, and then I get the wife sick, and then, you know, they'll get in a lot of trouble. So now it's like, hey, I probably can't even see you again. So I'm like, what do I, you know, I start thinking in my head, gosh, maybe I should I do back, should I go back to the group training? Should I do this? I was like, no, I want to continue to scale up. And I want to take this idea that was planted in my head with this, with what these ladies were talking about with real estate.
Yeah.
So I get my real estate license. I'm going through the whole process. It was a perfect timing because everything was shut down. So I signed up for online classes. I'm doing all the courses, all that good stuff. You know, and just, again, it gives you so, it gave me so much time to really just study. It was like being in Las Cruces all over again.
Right.
You know, because there's nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Go, right?
Son of a bitch.
Right. So there was really much to do. So I end up going through, getting my courses, end up getting my real estate license in start of 2021. And so I'm like, okay, great. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know? So now I announce it like on my social media. And I'm like, hey, you know, if you guys need any help, I'm now a realtor. You know, I still do training, but I'm a realtor. I want to, you know, do something different with my wife and get, just see how this goes. And so I, one second here. Yes. So I end up getting my real estate license in 2021, announced it on social media. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of traction right away. Just because people were looking at it like, well, hey, like, you know,
you're brand new,
right? You're brand new in the space. We're talking finances here. Like I'm used to you being the fitness guy. Like, how could you help me with my finances? How could I trust you?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want you to be my first transaction. What if something happens? Like that was the anticipation with everyone. So I saw a lot of friends literally, like, or just acquaintances for the most part, using other realtors during the time that I was, had my license.
Right.
But I didn't really punish myself for that or was upset with them. I have a very good perspective. I'm able to put myself in other people's shoes and say, hey, would you trust me if you were new?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be upset about that. So eventually over time, I started getting a few buyers who were interested,
sure,
but they weren't interested. They weren't going to be purchasing a home until, you know, 6 to 8 months.
Well, I mean, that, I mean, this is natural, right?
Right.
If you're brand new, one of the biggest problems any entrepreneur has is you're brand new. How do I trust you? How do you establish trust right off the bat?
Exactly.
Especially today with social media, you need social proof.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So what, how did you, so you gain that social proof by putting yourself in your friend's perspective and saying, you know, would you trust me kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, I didn't punish myself and I wasn't upset with others because of that.
Did you find yourself getting upset with people a lot when they said no?
I did it. Okay. I did it. I was more like, hey, I was thinking more long term.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like if you want to do anything, if you want to be successful pretty much in anything, you have to think of the long term.
Right.
Things don't just, you know, snap the fingers overnight. You know, going to be some great success. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So you got to take your L's and you got to be okay with it.
Well, so, I mean, Hannah, today correct me if I'm wrong, like we were talking before, you're at a point now where you're working with a lot of really high end clientele.
Absolutely.
Right. And there's a specific, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you are the reason they have all won championships.
Oh, wow. That's a, this is a very good story.
So every time someone buys, so actually for everyone, every time you buy all those guys, you've got to win a championship. It's just what happens.
Something good will happen. Something, I promise you.
That is that irresistible offer that we have to business.
So everyone I've done business with overall, like training,
so you weren't
real estate. Say again.
You weren't the reason they won a championship.
I will say it is. No, just kidding. So there's five people. There's five athletes that I've dealt with that have either won a championship before meeting me or have won a championship after meeting me.
Yeah.
I'll go down the list. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I was training him for doing football. I went out to Miami.
Oh, you were training Antonio?
I trained Antonio Brown before
You gotta help me out. What happened there, man? So I'm looking at the camera like, Antonio, what happened, bro?
When he was a Steeler.
So before the concussions.
Yeah, before all of that good stuff.
I'm like, what happened, man? You were great. Sorry, go ahead.
So I trained this guy for about a good month or so. It was a very special experience.
Sure.
Especially when you deal with these high level people. You know, they're going to have chauffeurs that are going to pick you up in the airport.
Right.
It's different. It's like a movie every day.
Yeah.
You know, you literally go around with this guy, even if it's like, hey, we're going to go, you know, eat at this restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like there's TMZ waiting for him. Mm-hmm. Like they're filming him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just nonstop people. And then people are going to go up to you and look at him, you know, start talking to him. They know exactly who he is. Mm-hmm. So I go from just living a regular life to being, you know, having the opportunity to work with this guy, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So he was one of the guys that I ended up working with. I ended up working with Leonard Fournette as well. That same year, he saw that I was working out with him, and then he messaged me as well. Said, "Hey, could you come out to Louisiana? Like, I would love to train with you as well." So I worked out with him, both of them. In 2020, the Tampa Bay Bucks won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it was 2021, I think. Yeah, or might have been, you're 2020.
2020.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 2020, they end up winning the Super Bowl. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, audience.
We'll find out.
Right. 2020 or 2021, yeah. One of those, they end up winning the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. So I was like, wow, okay, both of the guys, you felt the connection there.
Yeah.
Another person that I met, that I'd done business with, it was JC Jackson. He's a big time corner. He plays defensive back for the Chargers now. He's the second highest paid defensive back in the NFL.
Right.
He's making something over $80 million a year.
Yeah, he's crushed.
So I ended up helping him with real estate. Once he got traded over to the Chargers, I had reached out to him. And I told him, I said, hey, you know, if you need a place, let me know. I can more than happy to assist you.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, great. He replies back. He's like, yeah, I do need a place. Tells me what he needs. So I end up helping that guy, putting him in a place. So that's the third guy. So he's won a championship with the Patriots, I believe his rookie year.
Right. Yeah.
So he was a part of the 2018 Patriots when they beat the Rams.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the third guy.
Yeah.
The fourth person that I worked with was Max Muncy. Mm-hmm. So he's the Dodger, the Dodger player, and I believe he won one of the Dodgers in 2020.
Yeah.
Dodgers won in 2020.
Yeah.
So he reached out to me through Instagram. I made a post of a beautiful, you know, luxury home out in the valley. I don't know how, but it caught his attention. I must have, you know, been trending on his Explorer page.
Yeah.
So he randomly, you know, just sends me a message and he's like, hey, like, how's it going? Like, could you give me more info on this home?
Right.
And mind you, I'm just driving and I'm new with real estate at the time. I probably literally only done like maybe two transactions. And I look at my phone as I'm driving. I'm on my way back from the gym. And I see that Max is in my DMs. I'm like, oh man, like, God, I'm over here swerving. Like, this is Max Muncy. Like, oh, you know, so I'm like, of course that's a realtor's dream. You know, it's really hard to get a client like that. So my fifth client, was Frank Clark.
Mm.
He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So he's won a championship before meeting me.
Yeah.
And I believe in 2019.
Yeah, right.
I beat the Niners. So I end up helping him, and then I become his friends, you know, we have great little connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I helped them with the lease in Malibu, gave him a nice little place. And you know, after everything was done, he still went back this year and ended up winning the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
So that's the fifth guy.
Right.
That's five players.
Now, at this point, you pretty much, is now, correct me if I'm wrong, we're announcing this to the public right now, you won't take on a client unless they haven't had a championship.
Yeah, or are willing to win a championship.
And if they don't, then you keep possession of their home.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. That's a good thing. I would do that. Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
How's about that in this
And if they say no, it's like, so, oh, you don't believe in yourself?
Right, exactly. No, yeah. Right.
I like this.
Double down.
Yes. You know, you build up a good little portfolio. Yeah, of other people buying shit for you.
Right.
Let me ask you something, okay? So there's actually quite a few questions about your career and everything, but really actually what I'm most curious about, you're a very calm person.
Absolutely.
Okay? You're a very calm person. You're talking about all these things and, you know, you're talking about, you know, transitioning from here to there, but your demeanor, number one, is calm, right? Now, normally in football, right, you get somebody who...
Ready to go.
Now, so, it's not straight across the board, but where did that come from? Have you always been so calm and level-headed in what you do? Because let's be honest, you know, you've obviously built up a large clientele of high-level people, right?
Right.
You've been in both fitness and real estate at this point, right? But that takes a certain level of, and again, why would someone trust you with that? And I believe one of your greatest assets, and we could get to know each other more, is the calmness, right?
Right.
Which exudes confidence in when you speak, right?
Absolutely.
Where did that come from is what I really want to know. Was that always there?
I don't believe that it was always there. I always tried to unlock that within me as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it all goes back to, you know, being around certain people and being able to just dissect what you hear, what you see, you know, how you see someone's presence. You always want to basically look up a person that you want to be like, you know what I mean? Like find somebody out there who's a great mentor and how you can start, you know, how you can just adopt a little by little, you know, and bring it on to yourself.
Right.
But I always wanted to adopt and have like a light switch is what I call like an on and off button. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's, you know, has to deal with self-control. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Being able to channel your emotions. Mm-hmm. And when you play sports, your coaches will always tell you that be able to, you know, channel your emotions. Like control yourself.
Yeah.
Just because somebody hits you in the face after the whistle blows doesn't mean that you need to react.
Yes.
Like,
right.
You know, you have to be able to think and be able to react at the same time.
Right. Well, I mean, what you're saying, I mean, I wish, and you know, from man to man, like I wish more men would understand this.
Right.
Number one, I feel like we had, you know, I'm getting a little political here, like all these problems that are happening in our country.
Right.
I believe the main stem is because there's a lack of fathers and real men who understand how to be men, right?
Absolutely.
One of the key factors of being a man is your ability to be poised under pressure.
Absolutely.
Right? And I hear what you're talking about because this is a lesson you and me have both been in through football. As men, we've been taught that poise under pressure because if you lose your mind, and you have worked with the client who did lose it. I'm just kidding.
Right.
But that poise under pressure is so critical because it's not to say, and this is where I think people might miss up a lot. You're talking about the on and off switch.
Right.
Anger's not bad.
No.
Right? Anger's not bad,
right.
Especially as a man, right?
Right?
It's a tool.
Right.
It's actually a tool. It's a weapon.
Right.
But we have to know exactly when to release that and when to utilize that.
Because,
you know, I'm just listening to your story, you know, getting cut from football, right?
Right.
To me, it was one of the darkest times of my fucking life.
Right. Yeah, right? It's tough.
I have a feeling it was for you because if you worked your ass off to get to that point,
right.
It sucks.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? Cereal doesn't taste the same.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you get into, you know, fitness and then COVID. And is COVID still a thing? Do we still consider that a real thing? It was bullshit and still is. So I don't know what's like right here.
I agree. I'm not going to lie. So I'm on your side.
It's a weird place we're in. So I don't fit here. But then you go through COVID, which shuts down your next thing, you know, with fitness, right?
Right.
Which, again, we could talk about that.
Right, right. It was some guy.
But then you've transitioned into something with real estate, and you've stuck with it. You've been this point. Now you have high-level clients. You're literally working with celebrities already this early on. I don't think they're going to trust you unless they've seen some character traits.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I guess I come back to that, and that's why I ask you, where did that come from? And you mentioned football, but it's like, as men, we have to learn not only how, like, to that calmness, but like also when to utilize that anger.
Absolutely.
For benefit,
absolutely.
Right? So I'm curious, has that been a factor for you to drive you, or have you always been able to keep, and maybe it's just you utilize it as a tool, but like, was that something that, because, you know, you're so calm talking about it, so like,
right.
Like, man, you get pissed? right? When you get shut down with COVID, or when you got, you know, cut from football, or when people didn't believe in you and you believed in you because they didn't want to let you, you know, I work with you, trust me, but I don't want you to sell, you know, I'll sell my first house or whatever. Where did you ever get pissed off with that process? Walk me through that.
You know what? A lot of times when something doesn't go right for me, and I'm not just saying this just because I'm here talking with you on a podcast, right. Like this is legit. Okay. I always feel like there's a reason for it, you know, and you just have to be able to pivot and just do something. Maybe I would say, maybe it's God's way of telling you that, hey, it's time to do something else. It's time for you to learn something else. You know, change is just really helping you evolve, like in the long term. It really is. But a lot of people don't see it that way because they're looking at right now and they're like, hey, you know, I can't work because of COVID. Like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? Like, everyone is just so focused and locked in on all the downside of it instead of thinking like, hey, you know what? This gives me opportunity to write that book that I wanted to do or, you know, start that other business that I was thinking about doing or pursuing my, you know, drawing career, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It gives you that excuse to actually go for your passion.
Yeah.
And, you just have to capitalize on that. You have to be willing to allow that to happen to you. You have to be open to it.
Right.
So I've always been open to it. I'm a risk taker. Mm. You know, I lose way more than I win.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the life of an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But it's so sweet when we do win,
right.
You know, it's amazing. Cause it's like, damn, I thought of this myself. I followed through with it and it worked. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a double win,
yeah.
You know?
Well, what's the next step for you then? Because to me, I can see both businesses.
Right.
I can see the potential of both, but they're both tied to your brand. And you know, I'm not sure what your thought process is moving forward. What's the vision for you moving forward? Are you going to lean more into the real estate or the fitness, or are you going to try and keep them together? What's the future look like for you? For
that? So right now I'm pretty locked in full time on doing real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured if I do become a person who's just like a 5%er, mm-hmm. a 10%er who's making, you know, 7 figures, 8 figures, whatever, then I would actually go back into fitness and open up a gym, you know, and start a business there, but still doing real estate.
Right.
You know what I mean? But just running my own gym on the side, it's like almost like a passive income and still uniting with the people that I started with, you know?
Yeah.
And just doing something like that. So that way I can just connect all over again.
Yeah. Because those two, that's why I asked, are we going to combine the two?
Right.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
No,
they really don't.
They don't.
You know, and it's pretty clear to me, especially how you've navigated so far, that you can be operating these two together.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Cool.
Totally.
Well, listen, man, you know, you got an incredible story. We've talked about some awesome stuff here, but if there's one thing you want to leave the audience with, what would it be?
I would say whatever it is that you're thinking about trying to do or wanting to do, you have to go for it. Like, we all look up and we see these days just flying by, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just October, I feel like, last week.
Right.
And it's already February. It's going to be March soon. Like, time is leaving us. So you have to go for it. Be willing to go for it. And any type of adversity that hits you, that you think is a setback, like, be able to pivot and use a different perspective and ask yourself, hey, like, what is this telling me? Like, is this opening a new door?
Yeah.
You know, is God telling me that, hey, you can start that, you know, that business that you wanted to do? Like, don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what other people think. Just go do it.
Yeah.
That's the key. You got one life to live.
Amen.
Yes.
Love it, man. Awesome. Dude, appreciate
pleasure.
You coming on, man.
This pleasure.
Awesome. What's the best way people can get in contact with you? If they either want to just talk to you, because I think, like, if people listen to this, they might just want to talk to you and, like, learn from you, right?
Absolutely.
And maybe they want to buy a house. Maybe there's a champion listening who wants to buy a house, right?
Be beautiful.
Well, what's the best way to get in contact with you? We'll link it down below.
So my Instagram is Chris Jenna, ChrisJinna, not Chris Jenner. A lot of people always say that, right?
That and Chris, I think I would run with that. Chris Jenna and Jenner, just put the R at the end. Yeah,
right.
That if we was standing out and you do it.
I've had so many people that will always say, well, did your parents name you after Kris Jenner?
Perfect.
Kris Jenner? Yeah. So it's Kris Jenner.
Well, actually, Kris Jenner doesn't exist
anymore. Yeah. All right, buddy.
I mean, yeah. It's kind of hard not I got to rip
He's hilarious. So you can reach me there. You can also email me, chrisjenner@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, those are two great ways that you can reach out to me.
Awesome.
Slide in the DMs. More than happy to assist you guys.
Yeah, you ladies, slide into the DMs. Sounds like you got plenty of that going on. But everybody go follow this guy. Obviously, he's been doing incredible things. If you won a championship, then he'll take you on as a client. If not, fuck off.
Bring him on. Bring it on. Bring it on, damn it.
Everybody go follow this guy. And Chris, hey, thanks for coming on, man.
Pleasure, brother. Thank you for having me. Absolutely.